who's enjoying Christmas so far? It's all right. It's pretty good, isn't it? Can't complain. Now, I asked this on Friday night, and I couldn't believe how many people still hadn't done their Christmas shopping, so I'm going to do it one more time, just so that I can see. Who hasn't done their Christmas shopping yet? We've still got people. Budgie, you've got an excuse. You've been at the restaurant. Anyone else? All right. Who's going out this afternoon to do their Christmas shopping? Quite a few. Wow. Join the crowds, I reckon. Anyway, on that note, let me just, just as a way of starting, who says men don't remember? Who's got a husband that doesn't remember? Who says men don't remember? You know, rather than mess it up, let me read it to you. A couple were Christmas shopping, and the shopping centre was packed, and as the wife walked around, she was surprised to discover her husband was nowhere to be seen. She was quite upset because they had a lot to do, and hence she became so worried that she called him on her mobile phone to ask where he was. And in a quiet voice, he said, "Do you remember the jewelers we went to about 5 years ago? Where you fell in love with that diamond necklace we couldn't afford. And I told you that I would get it for you one day." The wife choked up and started to cry and said, "I do remember that shop." He replied, "Well, I'm at the pub next door." We're not like that, husbands, are we? Huh? Never. I want to talk to you this morning about something that is indescribable. Say it with me. Indescribable. It's the gift of God. It really is quite hard to describe. And let's have it on the screen. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15 in the New King James Version. It says this: "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And in the New Living Translation, it says this: "Thank God for his Son, a gift too wonderful for words." There is no doubt in my mind that trying to describe the gift of God's Son in my life is difficult. It's not an easy thing to describe all the things that Jesus has done for me. I made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 11 years old. I'm glad I made that decision. I'm glad that regardless of all the trials and all the things, and I've still done stuff wrong. Is anyone else out there that still does stuff wrong? You know, it doesn't mean we're perfect, but it does mean there's someone alongside us that helps us with life. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the times where I could have lost my cool, and I have lost my cool, but Jesus somehow helps me keep my peace at times. It's a good thing. It's great having a relationship, but it's too hard to describe. And Paul tries to describe it. And I want to help try and describe it this morning. In actual fact, the Bible is clear. It says, "For God so loved." Isn't that just powerful in itself? God so loved. And he follows it up that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in will not perish but have everlasting life. Really, that's the story of Christmas. God sent his Son. He didn't stay in a manger. He had to be with man so that he could understand everything about us. But he grew up with men. And I think that what Jesus has done, the most extreme that any man, because really I'm going to tell you in a moment that he's God as well. But, you know, I like to do pretty extreme things. And I'm sure there's a few people here that will agree with me. Or maybe not. But that's just me. But you see, a few weeks ago, I was diving off the west end of Rottnest. Never been able to do this before because it's been always a little bit too rough because the swell comes in there. And they said, you might see some sharks today. Who's scared of sharks? Who would stay out of the water? Who would never go diving? Well, I love it. I know some of you do too. And, you know, I was out at the west end of Rottnest, and we dived in, and sure enough, before long in this cave, so I decided to swim into the cave with a couple of grey nurse sharks. And my buddy's sort of taking it a bit. He's on the outskirts a bit. Well, it was probably a 3.5 metre grey nurse and a 2.5. The 3 metre decides it wants to just come and say hello and comes, swims right up next to me, winks at me. And I winked back and he smiled and he went on his way. And that, for me, I'm at home and I'm kind of the afternoon. It's just, I'm just like, that was so good. Just made my day. I wasn't scared. It's just a great feeling. You know, I've gone surfing a lot of times, and I remember one time in particular, before we had children. You know how children seem to change your life a little bit? Anyway, I'm with my wife before we had children, and we'd driven to a place right in the middle of the Australian Bight. And it's called Cactus. That kind of gives you the idea of the terrain. And I'd been out there surfing. It was quite early in the morning. In fact, my watch was wrong, and I didn't realise how early it was. And I'd been surfing for a few hours out on my own, literally. There wasn't many people there that this particular day. It was before the holidays. And then this guy paddles out on his, I think he had a longboard, and he paddles out to me, and he looks at me, and he goes, I've been watching you for the past 2 hours. You haven't been eaten, so I thought I'd join you. And, you know, but I love doing that kind of stuff. It's a good thing for me, and it might not be the same for you, but, you know, men can do some extreme things. We can get a thrill out of living life to the full with nature. It's a good feeling. For me, it brings a smile to my face. And here's the deal. But to get the weather completely right, to get all the elements to line up correctly, it's very rare. Most of the time, I'm surfing in terrible conditions. If you're a surfer in Perth, you know that it's always quite small and it's pretty choppy and it's lousy. And to get it all right. But, you know, Jesus had the best life. He's up in heaven with the Father. He was living the good life. They're probably sharing a glass of champagne together. They're going, wow, you know? And Father turns to Jesus and says, you've still got work to do. Now, this is pretty extreme. He's God. He decides to come to earth for all of us. He never stops giving. He gives and he gives and he gives. I'm grateful for the life that God has given me, aren't you? If you don't know the Lord this morning, you can be grateful for the life because he can change your life in an instant. We're going to have a prayer towards the end of this meeting. I'd love you to be a part of that and say, yeah, I'd like to receive Jesus as Lord of my life. He was in heaven, he was living the dream, but he changed all that. Let me describe what is essentially indescribable through using an illustration in the Bible where Jesus met the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. You see, Jesus is not what we may think. Jesus is not what we may think. And so, you know, it was pretty extreme. It was extremely hot. And Jesus sits down at this well. And after a little while, a Samaritan woman comes to draw water. And Jesus turns to her and said, you know, I've been walking for a long time. I wouldn't mind a drink. And the Samaritan woman, first of all, says, well, thinking to herself, you're a man. And second of all, you're a Jew. And Jews and Samaritans just don't talk to each other. It's not the done thing. Why on earth are you talking to me? You see, Jesus is not what we may think. He's not some angry God. He's not away from us. He is with us. And he wants to have relationship with us. And he goes on and he says, if you only knew the gift I have for you and who I am, you would ask me and I would give you living water. And the woman goes, she's not connecting. She's not really getting what the point is. She says, well, you don't even have a rope. How are you going to get me living water? How are you going to possibly draw me water? And she's thinking of it just from a natural perspective. But what Jesus is talking about is a relationship with God where it's about everlasting life that is constant, that is ongoing, that He never leaves us, that He's around us, that when we have an issue, there's someone to talk to, that when we have a problem, there's someone there. We just simply have to, the Bible says, all we have to do is ring Him up. All we got to do is get on the phone and say, God, whatever language doesn't matter. He's real in whatever situation or circumstance that you're in. Right through life. And I'm glad through every circumstance in my life. I'm 49 years old. I've got the big 50 next year. I've lived some life. Who's younger than me? Lots of you. That's good. We've got a great life to have with Jesus. And as we stick to the plan that Jesus has for our life, as we obey the word of God that brings life to our bones, the Bible says, there's a wellspring of life, which Jesus goes on to talk to about this woman. She's still not quite getting it. What's this living water? You know, I remember I was talking with my family and we were on a holiday trip about this time of year a few years ago, and we'd gone down to Esperance and we had four-wheel drives that were good enough to drive along the beach. The beach is quite hard down there. And we'd pulled up to have a surf and it was quite early. But then by about 9 o'clock, you know, when it was really hot summer days and the easterly, well, I don't know what wind it is down there, but the wind was coming off the land and it was pounding into our legs like you had to get back in the water. It was one of those days. And it reached 47 degrees that day. It was a record in Esperance. And I remember we just got back we decided we had to pack up by about 10 o'clock. And head back into the air conditioning. We just cranked it up the rest of the day. But you know, while we were on the beach, we just couldn't get enough water. We just drink. It was like, it was just one of those days. And Jesus is saying to this woman that you will never thirst again, because He is talking about the spiritual dynamic that when we have relationship with God, it changes everything. We need to actually ask God to connect us to His Spirit. It doesn't just happen. It's not like we can just believe and have head knowledge, I'm a good person. We need to invite Him into our life. And I want to give you opportunity to do that before we finish this morning. So Jesus may not be what you think. He certainly is more, because He's God. And I want to talk this morning for a few moments about Jesus is God. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is God. You know, and the woman's going, oh, the people are thirsty again. But the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring that never runs dry. It has endless life. Jesus can only say this if He really is God. And He has lived amongst us. He's grown up from a baby in a manger. We celebrate Christmas. It might not be the right day. It doesn't matter. I don't think Jesus is concerned. He's just concerned that we actually connect with His life. The reason He came. He was extreme for us. Now, I don't mind to give every now and again, but Jesus was ultimately, He just kept giving. He has never stopped giving. He's an incredible giver. He gave it all up. He gave the good life up for you and for me. See, everything was going for us as a human kind. Let me go back to Adam and Eve for a moment. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were just like God. They're made in His image. They were having a great time in the Garden of Eden together. It was like utopia. But a choice they made changed everything. They're walking in the, you know, they're in the garden, and they decided to eat of the fruit that God said, no, you'd better not eat of that. Of course, Adam blames Eve, and we blame each other. And that's part of our DNA. We always have this fold in us that we want to blame someone else for our mistakes. Are you anything like me? We can be like that. And what happened from that time, we became internally conflicted since that event in history. And from this day in human history, we just don't feel right anymore. Back to the story. Jesus says to the woman at the well, "Go and call your husband." And she says, "I have no husband." And Jesus responds, "Well, you do. You've actually got five husbands, but the man you're living with is not your husband." And she's kind of like, how would you be feeling? Quite flabbergasted. You must be a prophet. Jesus is just showing that it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter. He knows everything about us, but he's still concerned about a relationship with this lady. He's not concerned about the culture. He's not concerned about what other people may think, as we're about to find out. He's simply concerned about his love being shared with this lady. She goes on to say, "Well, I know one day that we're going to worship her." You know, she starts thinking about the Messiah. And Jesus says, "You know what? Samaritans, Jews, Lebanese, Chinese, Malay, Indian, African, Russian, whoever you are this morning, we will worship together the true God." And the woman responds, "Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see if the Messiah arrives, won't we?" And Jesus responds, "I am He. I am He. You don't have to wait any longer, nor look any further. Christmas changes everything forever. And God has declared in Christ that He is authentic in His love toward us. He is for us." Who's glad that God is for us? You know, there's lots of things in lots of religions where, well, I better do this right because you can live in fear. Well, our God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? But you know what? The disciples come along and they probably should have known better because they'd known Jesus long enough. See, Jesus desires relationship with us. They come back and they go, "What?" He could read their faces. The woman could read their faces. "What's happening here? Why are you don't even, what are you doing talking to this lady?" And they said, "Have you eaten something?" Because they'd gone to get food. They're always thinking about their stomachs. Guess what happens? She takes the hint, but she goes back to her village, and the people are like, she just can't help because something has happened in her heart that has changed her. She now has a relationship with the living God. She hasn't quite connected it all up yet, but she knows something different in her heart. And she says, "Come and see a man that knows everything about me. He could be the Messiah." And all the crowds come out from the village and they come and see. You know what? The crowd actually says something quite powerful. They could tell that she had been changed. But now they were convinced for his love for them as well. And they say this: "Now we believe because we have heard him ourselves." When you have a relationship with God, it changes your life forever. He may not be what you have thought, but Jesus is God. And he wants to have relationship with us. You don't know what Jesus is like until you invite him into your life. He is indeed the Savior of the world, they said. And so now this one person, Jesus is God, has impacted this entire town. And that's why We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because we know. And that's why we have church, because we know that Jesus is the answer for our life. We know that when we are connected, when we have relationship with God, and we continually meet, the Bible says, we meet during the week, we meet together when we can. We enjoy one another's company as believers, but it doesn't mean we're just there for the believers. It means we're there for those who don't know God either, so that they can relate with Him and have their best life as well. That's why we do church. Church is not just for those inside the house. It's for those who are connecting, or those outside who are saying, well, you know what? Maybe there's more to God than I've currently recognized. God is for you. God loves you. God cares about you. And He wants to have relationship with you this morning. Back to our key verse in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. It's a gift. The Apostle Paul has been encouraging the Christians up to this point to be generous. And it suddenly strikes him that Jesus is the best gift that anyone could possibly have. He's the best gift that anyone could possibly have this Christmas. He's the best gift for your life. Paul is overwhelmed by God's generosity. He was extreme in his actions towards us. He went all out to show His love. He is extreme in his relationship with us. He has never been concerned about what we are. He simply desires to show His love toward us. And that is exactly what He did for the Samaritan woman. Legalism says God will love us if we change. That's not what God wants for our life. No one's here to judge us. God hasn't judged you. The gospel says, the good news of the Bible says that God will change us because He loves us. And this is what Paul is trying to describe. He gave us His all. And Paul is speaking with the Christians in Jerusalem about godly people being generous when he has an encounter, a revelation of who God is. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. No matter what gifts we give, who's glad we have gifts at Christmas? One time of the year when we all get spoiled, right? That's cool, isn't it? Who really loves Christmas? I know my daughter does. She loves Christmas presents. She loves the gift side of things. And there'd be lots of people in this room that love Christmas. Why not be spoiled, hey? You've worked hard all year. You can spoil yourself. Family loves to spoil you. It's a great time of year. But nothing pales in comparison in what God gave us the first Christmas day. I was talking about Extreme a little while ago. And I love that this program has just been hooked me in on television, Extreme Fishing. This one about the crayfishermen gets me every time. These guys in New Zealand, it was the last show for the year, and they go out in these really rough conditions, and they pull up in New Zealand. They've got big swells, and they pull up next to these big rocks, and they risk their life literally. They're thrown all over the boat. One of the guys' boat back was almost broken, and his dad was the skipper, and you know it was like the sons on board, including the daughter as well. They breed them tough in New Zealand, and they were doing the pay scales for the year. Now they work 6 months a year. You know how much some of these guys make? I'm going to tell you anyway. You know, the top guy for 1 6-month season made $10 million. The next one down was about $8.5 million. He was saying, well, I've just put your pay scale up. Dad's telling his son. He goes, you get $1 million this season. Not bad, hey? 19-year-old boy. You know, men and women will do incredible, extreme things for money. We will work in extreme conditions. I mean, even when we work up north, 40-plus degrees now, some of you in trucks, and you know, it's air-conditioned, but some of us are outside. We will do all sorts of things for money. But Jesus didn't do it for any of that. He didn't do it for Himself. He did it because God loves you and me. He loves us. Why don't we stand to our feet for a moment this morning? It's an indescribable feeling knowing God's love. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning to receive Jesus and his love for you. Christmas is all about the gift that Jesus has given. And I'm glad we celebrate other gifts too. But the gift of Jesus is a gift that's indescribable. He knows you better. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here this morning, God wants to have a relationship with you. If you don't know the love of Christ, I want to help you this morning connect with God. I want to pray with you in a moment. I want to ask you to invite Jesus into your heart. He knows you better than anyone else. He has done the extreme for you. He has conquered death for you. He desires to live with you. And those benefits alone, that's why he talks about living water with the woman in the well. We go from just having a normal life to an extraordinary life. Will you accept what Jesus has done for you today? Will you respond to the call of God on your life? For God so loved the world that he gave, and he gave, and he gave, and he gave. If you haven't received Jesus as Lord of your life here this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you in a moment to pop up your hand. I'd love to pray with you that you invite Jesus to be Lord of your life today. He cares about you. He may not be what you have thought. Jesus is God. He desires relationship. He wants to make right what is somehow not quite aligned in our life. Will you receive the gift of God this Christmas and make it a really nice, fantastic, the best Christmas ever? God loves you. So this morning, why don't we pray this prayer together? And all of us just pray this prayer and invite Jesus into our heart. And if you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, or this morning, you know you're away from God and you need to reconnect and have relationship again. Allow that to happen. God cares about you. He wants relationship with you. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love for me. Forgive me of my sins. Where I've been internally conflicted, I thank you that Jesus came to take away all the internal conflict and make me right with you. I receive of your free gift today. Take leadership in my life. I invite you into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.